You'll be shocked. I've had people who've actually approached me to say, I've done this campaign. My insights aren't showing good numbers. Is there any way to manipulate it?
Don't do that. All of you, stop it right now.
and these are our faves, by the way. These are really, they're wonderful individuals, but the conversion isn't there. There's this infamous story of the influencer who's only able to sell 2 t-shirts with 2 million followers, right? So these things happen.
Yeah. Label line with the podcast, teach you lesson cause I got class. Label line with the impact, you be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson, come let me teach you a lesson. Label line with the tweets, follow me back to my nest.
Welcome to the Label Lion Show, the biggest marketing and entrepreneurship podcast on the African continent. Guys, I am so excited to welcome you to season 2, baby, of our vlogcast of the Label Lion Show. It's been a journey, hey? It's been a journey. We've been at this since 2018. And you guys have been with me through this entire journey, putting us on the iTunes top 100 charts before South African podcasts were even there. You know, so thank you for making me look good. Thank you for being with me on this journey. And let's keep breaking boundaries, being audacious, and really trying to build the lives that we love. Today's guest is somebody who I'm really excited to introduce to you because she's really doing the things. Her CV, okay, is so impressive. Like, it will make you feel like you haven't done anything with your life, trust me. But it will also motivate you and inspire you to know that women can actually do anything they put their minds to, and they can take over the world if they want to. And as you guys know, on the Label Lion Show, we do not introduce the guests, we ask them to introduce themselves. But before we do that, don't forget to show this page some love, like, subscribe, share this with your friends and family. Let's get this conversation going. This kind of content, the kind of information that we share with you here, is invaluable, and it helps you build a future that makes sense and that's vibrant and that puts African people on the map. So without further ado, let's talk to our guest, our first guest for season 2 of the Label Lion Show, Hetty. Welcome to the Label Lion Show.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy you are here. Thank you for honoring this invitation. And I've been wanting to speak to you for a very long time because I think the work you do is phenomenal. And the skills that you share are skills that somebody who wants to be a digital citizen and somebody who really wants to pioneer the future and harness the opportunities that are present in the future should know, you know, the skills that you share. So please, before we even go into that, please introduce yourself to our audience for people who might not know you or who kind of have heard of you, but they don't actually understand what you do. Please introduce yourself.
All right, so my name is Hetty the Entrepreneur. I am a business and monetization guru. And in very simple terms, what that just means is that I make your business my business. I help you with your sales, your marketing, your personal brand to dominate in the online space, but most importantly, to monetize. That is a very key component of what I do.
The sponsor of the episode is the global trading platform OctaFX. Use promo code LABEL100 to double your deposit. That's LEBO100 to double your deposit. Disclaimer: investing involves a level of risk. We do not recommend investing with our prior expertise. Beware of scammers who copy our content and name. Never send personal data or funds via messengers such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and the like. Every year, there are more and more successful investors in the world. But it's worth noting that the share of women on this list is growing. Not only are we able to take care of our home and raise children, but also earn money to support our families. Open the world of financial achievements. Start trading with OctaFX. OctaFX is a global trading platform with 10 years of experience and more than 10 million trading accounts in 150 countries worldwide. Join the community of like-minded entrepreneurs in 3 steps. 1, download Okta FX trading app. 2, create an account. 3, apply the promo code LEBU100 and double your first deposit for more profitable trading. Are you new to trading? Watch Okta FX webinars to learn the basics and enjoy its live trading sessions to improve your strategy. Make trading a part of your lifestyle with Okta FX. Claim your 100% bonus for more profitable trading in the description. Some of the benefits of using Okta FX is 1. Low spread. Spread is the difference between the best selling price and the best buying price of a certain asset on the exchange. 2. You can trade without any volume-based fees and commissions. 3. You get fast deposits and withdrawals. And 4. You can now find Okta FX on iOS. The sponsor of this episode is the global trading platform Okta FX. Remember, investing involves a level of risk. We do not recommend investing without prior expertise. Beware of scammers who copy our content and name. Never send personal data or funds via messengers such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and the like. Enjoy the podcast.
Monetization. One of my favorite words. Actually, I was watching your stories on Instagram a couple of days ago. You answered a question that sounded so peculiar to me. And I think people were asking you, why do you talk about money so much? And I thought to myself, why wouldn't she talk about money so much? You know? But for those people who don't understand, please explain to us, what is monetization and why do you talk about it so much?
Yeah. So monetization in its real simplest form is the act of making money. The different ways in which you can make money from your products, your services, or activities that you do. So often at times, what I find is that there are people who've got great products and services. Mm. They're people who are great personal brands, but their bank account is not reflective of that. And what I help them to do is to actually monetize their knowledge, their skills, their expertise within the online space so that they actually make money.
That sounds too good to be true. Honestly, and I'm saying this from my experience as well as a coach sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So I'm not a coach though.
Not all the time.
But you know, people say that's impossible. How do you make money online? That doesn't make sense. And with a personal brand, like how does that even work? How do people monetize their online content?
So there are different ways to monetize within the online space. Mm. It really isn't just linear. Mm. So what most people will be familiar with would be perhaps the influencer space, because that's really boomed up and a lot of people know about that. So, you know, through brand deals, etc. The types of individuals that I work with are more what I would classify as knowledgepreneurs. So these are individuals.
Knowledgepreneur, I love it.
So these are individuals that have got knowledge or expertise in a particular subject matter. They could be coaches, some of them are investors, others are personal brands. And we are taking who they are and what they are good at and helping them to monetize that. That can be in the form of digital products such as courses, masterclasses, ebooks, various types of digital products. Other ways can be through public speaking. Other ways are through audience conversion of their followers that they have on social media. So what is interesting to note is that there are so many different ways of actually monetizing online. And brand deals is just one component of it. But it's probably the one that is the most popular because you see all of your favorite people going in that particular route. But there's so many other ways as well.
I love that you spoke about influencing, right? Let's talk about that. I have a million views about influencer marketing and influencers. I know you know this.
Yeah.
You've seen some of my lives.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've heard you speak about influencers and influencer marketing.
Yeah.
What is your perspective of the influencer landscape in South Africa? Do you think we're globally competitive? Do we compare? to what's being done in the States and in the UK?
Oh my goodness, I'm so afraid of rotten tomatoes thrown at me.
Listen, you can wash them off. You can wash them off.
The influencer landscape in South Africa is growing, mm-hmm. And it is a valid form of marketing because you are able to leverage another individual's influence and the followership that they have. I definitely do think that there's room to grow. Mm-hmm. There's room to be a lot more dynamic, especially with the influencers themselves. I would love to see variation in terms of the value they bring to the table, but also the personality that they bring to the table. Mm. And I would also love to see more influencers really nurturing and harnessing their community. So instead of just being aspirational, why not be more relatable? Because I find that I actually buy more from people that I relate to. Mm-hmm. So increasing that know, like, trust factor, as opposed to being that thing on the top of a shelf that we can't reach. Mm. And I think that once we are able to do that, their conversions will also actually increase.
Why do you think so many brands are working with influencers if that's what we're seeing, if it's mainly aspirational, which means there isn't present conversion, right? Because aspirational marketing is all about future gains. It's not about now.
Yeah.
So why are so many brands, in your opinion, investing so much in the future instead of literally current gains, you know, getting the sales now, getting people to buy into the brand now? Why do you think they're going in the aspirational route?
Let me actually give you a completely different perspective level, because I have had corporates that have come to me as a result of trying influencer marketing and having different sets of results. What we're often finding with these corporates is that they are wakening up to the fact that the number that is shown on a person's profile does not necessarily translate to sales. Mm-hmm. So often at times when a company approaches an influencer, it's with the view that they can convert their followership into sales or into brand loyalty for their particular company. And what a lot of them are realizing is that while a person may have a lot of followers, they may not necessarily have a lot of buyers. And so the demographic and the makeup of their audience is therefore important to kind of, you know, really hone into. So why are they going that route? Because it honestly is very trendy. When you look at marketing and advertising, it is a reflection of the times in which we live in. Mm-hmm. So if you go back in time to 1992, it will be reflective of the times then. When future generations look at advertisements from today, it'll be indicative of the type of world we're living in now. Mm. Influencer marketing within the South African landscape is still relatively quite new. And so as an organization, you're willing to try anything at least once. Let's give it a shot and see how it goes. Mm. So it is definitely trending at the moment, but the test of time lies in longevity. And those influencers that have the ability to convert are those ones that are going to stand the test of time.
I love what you said there. I mean, we preach this every single day.
Yeah.
Just because somebody has a lot of followers, it doesn't mean they have a lot of buyers.
Yeah.
Simply put, right?
Yeah.
And how do, and I know we're going heavily into this, it's my last question about influencer marketing, but if there is a brand manager watching this podcast, because there are quite a few who, you know, are part of the Label Lion community, how would you tell them to start identifying the buyers within an influencer's community? How can I tell by looking at Mihlali's profile whether she has a lot of buyers or she just has a lot of fans?
Yeah.
How can I tell as a marketer?
Well, first of all, I think they need to examine their own relationship with influencer marketing and their own perception of influencers, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got different types of influencers. You've got micro, you've got your nano, and then you've obviously got your big ones. You want to actually dissect the actual individual that you want to work with. Are they a reflection of your brand identity? Mm-hmm. Then you also want to dissect the actual numbers of that particular influencer. So how many of those are organic followers? How many of those are bought followers? How many of those are bots? What is their engagement rate? So if you have an individual who's got 100,000 followers, but the engagement rate is 0.1%, I would sooner go to a nano influencer who's got an engagement rate of 10%. Mm-hmm. Because what it tells me is that they have got a captive audience that are more easily convertible. Mm-hmm. And there are programs that are available to actually look into that granular detail. So it's important to treat it like a business. You'll be shocked. I've had people who've actually approached me to say, I've done this campaign. My insights aren't showing good numbers. Is there any way to manipulate it?
Don't do that. All of you, stop it right now.
and these are our faves, by the way. These are really, they're wonderful individuals, but the conversion isn't there. There's this infamous story of the influencer who was only able to sell 2 t-shirts with 2 million followers, right? So these things happen. So as from a corporate perspective, if you are looking to work with an influencer, you therefore need to have a very firm understanding of what is my end objective here, and how can I measure my results? Because comments and likes, they're vanity matrix. They make us feel good. It's all well and good. It has its place in society. But when it comes to actual business, we really need a proper return on investment.
I mean, the gems that Hetty's sharing, basically reiterating everything I believe in when we speak about influencer marketing, because it does work. This thing is valuable, you know, and that's why so many people are becoming influencers, because it does work. But we have to use it properly.
Yeah.
And if we don't, the industry will die out, because eventually corporates have to measure the success of the campaigns, and they will be checking if it really does work. And I think it's also quite interesting how we're so hard on influencer marketing, but celebrity marketing still sustains its presence in all the strategies in corporate. And you have to ask yourself, does it really work? You know, just because these people are on television and radio, do they also convert? Or is it just a popularity thing where, because I have Trevor Noah, I look like a marketer who's doing their job, you know? So that's so interesting. I love what you're saying about literally the difference between fans and buyers. And we should be working with the influencers who have buyers and not fans.
Yes.
Because that's what truly matters. I think a buyer is a fan who starts to trust you.
Yes.
Trust you so much that they're willing to do what you're asking them to do.
Yes.
And then they buy, they take their money. You know, they give you more than just their attention.
Absolutely.
And that's invaluable.
Absolutely.
And let's trickle that down now to our small business owners, our entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them think, I need to have 1 million followers to sell a product.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Absolutely not.
Tell us why.
Absolutely not. So, first of all, it's not the number of followers that you have. Mm-hmm. It's the quality of followers. That is really and truly the long and the short of it. Mm. If I look at my own personal brand, I started monetizing with 700 followers. And the reason I was able to do that is because 90% of my followers were entrepreneurs. Mm. So even though my content wasn't going to a large number of people, it was going to the right people. Mm-hmm. And I see this with all of my clients as well. I've got clients that have got lots of followers, but we have to work on kind of repurposing their followership, because those are individuals that are not necessarily there for the right reasons for us to be able to monetize them. So it's not about the number of followers, it's about the quality of followers that you have.
Does content affect the quality of followers that I have as an entrepreneur?
Absolutely, it does. So your content is the vehicle that is going to help you to get to your destination, right? So you can be, we can both be going to Cape Town. You could be flying and I can be driving there. We'll eventually reach there, but you'll get there a lot sooner than I will because of the vehicle that you're using. So as a business coach and a monetization expert, if all I am posting is what I had for breakfast, I'm not positioning myself as an expert. I'm not positioning myself as an authority in what I do. Therefore, when I say attend my masterclass or buy my course or book a consultation, you'll think, for what? All you showed us is your breakfast this morning. So you have to be very intentional about how you're putting yourself out there. Are you putting yourself out there to convert and to project what you are looking to get at the end of the day?
I love what you're saying, and you use a golden word, intentional.
Yeah.
Being intentional is everything. Mm. And on that note, I want to know how you were intentional in becoming Hetty the entrepreneur. Tell us about that.
Oh my goodness. This is actually quite a personal story, so brace yourself.
Let me get my drink. We're drinking in season two, guys. Yes. I drink alcohol brands. Hello. Come join our podcast.
Absolutely. So I've always been an entrepreneur, and I've always been within the business space. Mm-hmm. And often at times people would approach me and say, "Hetty, can you please mentor me? Can you please assist me?" And where I would find nuggets of time, I would do that. But what happened during hard lockdown, and I think we all remember exactly where we were when we got that notice of 21 days, right? And I remember being at home and all of my retail stores were closed. I have a retail business. All of my retail stores were closed because of the regulations. And for the first time, I challenged myself to dream again.
Hmm.
And I just said to myself, what if I could redo everything? What would I want to do differently? And I wrote three things down. I said the first thing I'd want to do is I'd want to exist within the online space. I want to be able to do a type of business that will allow me to travel so I can work from anywhere. And the third thing I wrote down is I want to be able to earn in multiple currencies. So I might be domiciled in Johannesburg or Pretoria, but I want to be able to earn in rands and pounds and dollars, any currency. Mm. Those are the three things that I wrote down. And then I said, well, if that's what I want to do, I'm going to switch on my phone, I'm going to go live, and I'm going to speak about what I know. And I remember the first time I went live, there were two people on there. I felt so silly. Like, what am I doing? I'm going to look so silly. But I decided not to delete it because I understood that if I am consistent, this is going to be part of the case study of where she came from. And so I left it and I began to grow and share my knowledge. And from that time, I've literally been able to grow from a one-man show to developing an entire agency that services clients in their monetization. So for me, Hetty the entrepreneur has really been born out of COVID giving me a second chance to redesign my life with intention, with understanding everything that I want for my own life. And now I can honestly tell you, Lebo, that I'm literally living the life of my dreams because of the online space, and yes, because of social media.
Did you guys hear that? I hope that you can rewind this and just listen to what Hetty said. You said some very powerful things. The fact that COVID gave you a second chance, you know, when so many people were disheartened, you said, how do I see this as an opportunity?
Yes.
Right? Because Hetty the entrepreneur, that's exactly what entrepreneurs do.
Yeah.
And what we didn't go into in your story is the fact that you actually own the largest African print retail clothing brand, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Please tell us about PH Boutique. I actually know PH Boutique very well. Mm-hmm. I started following you guys quite a while ago on social media before I even knew it was owned by you and your partner.
Yes.
Please tell us about that.
So for me, it's so interesting because all of my major business decisions have been rooted in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So our boutique was born actually on honeymoon.
Oh.
So I was on honeymoon with my husband. And you know when you're just lying there and you're daydreaming. What is our future going to look like?
Katie says this like we're all married. Like, you know, we're married to our dream partners and we know that we're just chilling.
You know, and we're just thinking, what's our life going to look like? Mm. And we looked at each other and like, we'd actually love to spend as much time together as possible.
Mm.
And at the time, both of us were in banking. Both of us were in really great jobs, good paying jobs. Everything is great. But of course, as you know, corporate takes so much of your time.
Mm.
And we realized in that moment that if we want both time and money freedom, we're going to have to do our own thing.
Mm.
And we're going to have to pave our own path. And that's where P&H Boutique really actually came from. It came from that desire to want to design our own lives. Okay. And it started from the spare bedroom of our home, so beginning with what you have in the moment, and then it grew to retail stores across all the provinces within South Africa. And it has been such an amazing blessing to have that as a business. And it's so interesting because then Hetty the Entrepreneur was also born from a desire for more. And I honestly, you know, often at times, even when I'm liaising with clients and they start off with, I don't know what to monetize, I don't know where to begin, I always start with, who are you and what is the deepest desire within yourself? Because if you have it within you, we can unearth it and monetize it.
That's such an incredible story. I have like six different questions and they go in different directions. So I'm trying to decide which one to go with. Let's start with this one because it's related to the honeymoon. Mm. What is the value, especially for black women, in picking the right partner? I think so often in society, they make it seem like the man chooses you. Mm. But I think women also choose their partners.
Yeah.
So what is the value of choosing the right person to build a life with?
Yeah. Gosh, that is such an incredible question. And I think I find it to be so relevant because it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately in terms of the decisions that we make in a moment in time that has ripple effects throughout our life. And the truth of the matter is it's actually us that choose the man, right? So somebody goes down on their knees, perhaps, and they ask you a question. Now, a question is followed by an answer. Mm-hmm. And you are the person that has the authority to give that answer. So you are actually making that decision as to whether or not this is the right person for me to do this life thing with. Choosing the right person to journey life with is such a make or break thing, because that person can either support you to really blossom into the person that you were designed and ordained to be, or you can end up withering into a shadow of yourself. And it can go in either way depending on the decision that you make when somebody asks you if you would agree to marry them. And so I think that as women, we need to remember that we hold power in our hands in terms of the direction our lives can take. And also, equally, it is important for us to remember that we can always change our mind. Always.
Yes. Yeah. Guys, isn't Hetty phenomenal though? Like, it just feels like you're getting a life masterclass from Hetty, because you're hitting on so many facets of our lives, right? And I just love the idea that you are a living example of it. You're not just speaking it, you've done it, and you are doing it. And that is incredibly powerful. And you also spoke about how you started with what you have. I find that a lot of people these days, we've got a lot of entrepreneurship porn, you know, in the sense that right now it's very cool to be an entrepreneur. Should I just become an entrepreneur because I have the means or because it's cool? Or should it be because I am in discomfort, you know, I am experiencing something, I'm seeing something that I genuinely want to change? Why should people be becoming entrepreneurs? And do you agree with our government's kind of narrative of, we need more entrepreneurs in the country? Will entrepreneurship fix the problems we have?
Absolutely not. They certainly won't fix the problems. And I mean, I see no need for us to even pretend that they will. I think one thing that perhaps the government and perhaps society at large often gets wrong is mistaking being a business owner with being an entrepreneur. Right?
Please repeat that.
Yeah, so people mistake being a business owner with being an entrepreneur. And this often happens within our continent. Because we've got the socioeconomic problems that we have of unemployment, joblessness, and all of these various other elements, people then open businesses as a necessity to put food on the table. So they are the equivalent of what subsistence farmers were back in the day. You are doing enough to put food on the table. Those people are what we call business owners. And often at times, those are Me Too businesses. Level's got a podcast. Me too, I can have a podcast, right? But you don't have Lebo's anointing, and therefore you don't get the results that Lebo has. An entrepreneur is an individual that provides solutions to problems. And entrepreneurs are the disruptors of society, and they are the innovators of society. And those individuals are very different to business owners. And so often at times, the reason why you find business owners operating from a place of desperation and not being able to monetize is because the foundation is structurally broken and impaired. Whereas an entrepreneur is going in there with a deep desire to make change, disrupt, and innovate. So that is how I know I'm an entrepreneur, because that desire to build, curate, and orchestrate the life of my dreams comes from a place that is within, that is so pure that I was willing to do whatever it takes to achieve it. But when the foundation is shaking, because of course when you're running a business, there are all kinds of storms that come along the way. Then you'll be like, oh no, hairdressing is actually not that easy. Let me go and do makeup. Oh no, let me go and sell clothes. Why is that? Because you are just looking, you're operating from a place of desperation. And that is very different from entrepreneurship.
I love that. You know, I genuinely believe, I agree with you, that entrepreneurship is a calling. So many people see what we do online and they think it's easy. Oh, Lebo's probably got a great life. So that's why things can work. And it's like, no, I started my podcast with my phone. People don't understand that. You know, I didn't just get here, which is very expensive, by the way. You know, it's literally, I started with my phone. I happened to be in a different country. And I was like, let me just do this thing. And I sat in my hotel room in Paris, took my voice notes on my phone, and I recorded a podcast, and I published it, you know? So it's just, and it just happened because there was something in me that said, do it now.
Yes.
I can't tell you what that is. I can't help you get that thing. And you obviously can relate because of your journey and everything that you've experienced. So thank you for putting that out so clearly for people to understand that entrepreneurship is a calling. You know, if you want to start a business, that's fine. If you need it for survival, that's fine. But don't confuse it with entrepreneurship. The sponsor of the episode is the global trading platform OctaFX. Use promo code LEBO100 to double your deposit. That's LEBO100 to double your deposit. Disclaimer: investing involves a level of risk. We do not recommend investing with our prior expertise. Beware of scammers who copy our content and name. Never send personal data or funds via messengers such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and the like. Every year, there are more and more successful investors in the world. But it's worth noting that the share of women on this list is growing. Not only are we able to take care of our home and raise children, but also earn money to support our families. Open the world of financial achievements. Start trading with OctaFX. OctaFX is a global trading platform with 10 years of experience and more than 10 million trading accounts in 150 countries worldwide. Join the community of like-minded entrepreneurs in three steps. One, download OctaFX trading app. Two, create an account. Three, apply the promo code LEBO100 and double your first deposit for more profitable trading. Are you new to trading? Watch OctaFX webinars to learn the basics and enjoy its live trading sessions to improve your strategy. Make trading a part of your lifestyle with OctaFX. Claim your 100% bonus for more profitable trading in the description. Some of the benefits of using OctaFX is: 1. Low spread. Spread is the difference between the best selling price and the best buying price of a certain asset on the exchange. 2. You can trade without any volume-based fees and commissions. 3. You get fast deposits and withdrawals. And 4. You can now find OctaFX on iOS. The sponsor of this episode is the global trading platform OctaFX. Remember, investing involves a level of risk. We do not recommend investing without prior expertise. Beware of scammers who copy our content and name. Never send personal data or funds via messengers such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and the like. Enjoy the podcast.
Hetty, you have spoken on some big stages, mm-hmm. and you've been vetted by some big names and big companies. Mm. How did you go from corporate? Because I feel that corporate can be so limiting, mm-hmm. and it can put you in this mindset where you think that it's the be all and end all. Mm. How did you shift from a corporate mindset to this entrepreneurial mindset, mm-hmm. that put you on TEDx stages, mm. for example, mm. Mail and Guardian top 200? Yeah. How did that happen?
To be 100% honest with you, Lebo, even sitting in corporate, I was heading up a department. I was at a merchant bank. I had teams reporting to me. So I'm not one of those people who were unhappy in their job. Mm. In fact, I loved what I did. The truth is that I knew that I was destined for more. Mm. And I knew that in order to attain more, I would have to design that for myself. Mm. And so my transition from corporate to entrepreneurship was very intentional. And I was quite risk averse at the time. So I'm not one of those people who said they stood up one day, they packed up their things, and then they just, no, that's not my story at all. I actually was reading books by Robert Kiyosaki. Yeah. I was understanding the cash flow quadrant, all of those things. And what I did was I made the very difficult decision to live on 40% of my income. So I lived on 40% of my income, and I took the 60% and invested it into my business, mm. every single month for a good 2 years. Until I could replace my corporate income, replace my medical aid, my pension and provident fund, mm-hmm. so that I wouldn't necessarily have to downscale my lifestyle. And that's when I was able to make the transition. I had no weekends. My weekends, I was out there, I was grinding. I missed out on significant life moments of people that I love and that I cherish, because I believed that if I did this correctly and if I pushed long enough, I would have the luxury of time to be there for them in moments where other people would be in the office. Mm. And that's exactly what I did. So I think it's important for us to be intentional. I get people who come to me and say, "Hetty, help me monetize. I hate my job." That's not enough to monetize, I'm afraid. You really have to approach it with intentionality, mm. and understand that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. There is work that is involved, but the rewards far outweigh the work.
Was corporate beneficial in you succeeding in entrepreneurship? Did you learn certain things there that helped you become a better entrepreneur?
Absolutely, I did. I have learned how to engage with other corporate individuals. Today, I have corporates as clients. Mm. I need to speak their lingo. I need to be able to speak in a manner that addresses their pain points. Mm. I need to understand the struggles that they have so that I can be a solution to their problems. So it has definitely helped me tremendously within my business journey.
I love that so much. I think part of what I've been doing for a long time is villainizing corporate just a little bit, mm-hmm. And that's because I'm also not coming from that space.
Yeah.
So I'm literally looking at it from the outside in, mm-hmm. and then giving my opinion about it. Mm. But I've also found that in my journey, even trying to hire people,
yes,
the better quality hires generally come from corporate.
Absolutely.
Because they've just got that culture ingrained in them of, yes. how to work, how to network, how, yes. to do certain things.
Yeah, professionalism.
Professionalism. Oh my God, that is so rare,
yeah.
in this country, and I'm sure in other parts of the continent, but I'm not going to drag people because people say I drag a lot. So I'm not going to drag you guys. I'm just going to speak about what I know, which is South Africa. Mm. Professionalism. Mm. Let's talk about that just very quickly. A lot of the time when I speak about it, people say, "Oh my gosh, you're so boring." Mm. Maybe it's because you're an older person, so you must think that. Mm. What is professionalism? Why is it important?
Professionalism is incredibly important mm-hmm. because that is what allows us to trust you. When you have integrity, meaning that what you say and what you do are aligned. Mm. That is how we're able to trust you. So without it, we are left with a niggling feeling that will make us go to the other individual that we are considering. Because let's be real, very few people are offering products and services that nobody else in the world is offering. So that means that we have a buffet of options available. Mm-hmm. So if I have a choice between the professional person and the unprofessional person, and both of your resumes look good, then I will go the professional route.
And does building a relationship with, let's say, prospective client mm-hmm. change the level of professionalism that you have to present with?
I think you actually have to be even more consistent. Mm-hmm. So I have got clients that I've been working with now for a couple of years now, and I know them so well, but I always understand who I am within the context of the relationship that we have. Mm. And I do not overstep the boundaries. And I think that's very, very important to note, because often at times over familiarity builds in mm-hmm. and then you don't provide the level of service that you did in the beginning. And when that begins to happen, they will keep the friendship, but they'll take their business elsewhere.
Mm. And how does having a personal brand tie into that dynamic? And please, just for anybody who's watching, can you define what a personal brand is?
Mm, gosh, I absolutely love that. Personal branding for me is the perception that other people have of you and what they are able to say about you when you are not in the room. Mm-hmm. That is your personal brand. So it is about being able to nurture that perception that they have. And personal branding is everything. Mm-hmm. For me, it has served me incredibly well. So I've been doing different manifestations of late, and I've been manifesting certain corporate clients. Mm. And one of the things that I've been saying is that they will find me exactly where I am. And they have. They've been sliding into my DMs. But the reason that they
literally That's so funny.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about my manifestation exercises, but literally they have. And it's something that this isn't a strategy. This is manifestation. It's something completely different. Yeah. But they have done so because when they reached my page, they found what they were looking for. Mm. So when you walk out of the room, what do we say about Lebo? What do we say about Hetty? Mm. And is it in alignment with how you are intending to project yourself? And also, is there a consistency in our experience of you? Are you consistent on the set as you are on a live, as you are speaking on a stage? Mm. Because personal branding is also about that level of consistency as well.
How much of myself is in my personal brand? Because what I've heard on the streets, on the social mm-hmm. media streets, is mm-hmm. people's just saying, but it's as if you are acting, you know, mm-hmm. it's not who you truly are, because people have flaws, you know, mm-hmm. people aren't perfect, and they feel like when you start to build a personal brand, mm-hmm. you're presenting as a perfect individual. Mm-hmm. So how much of the true me is in my personal brand?
So first and foremost, it depends the context in which your personal brand is being used, mm-hmm. right? So there are certain individuals who their personal brand has to be aspirational. Mm-hmm. And therefore, with aspirational type of personal brands, there's a level of perfection that comes through. Mm-hmm. However, your personal brand is a reflection of your authentic self. Yes. And I'll give you an example. I do Instagram lives without makeup. I do them in a gown. I am just there, yes. right? Because I am there to share my knowledge. And the individuals that follow me understand that they're not coming for Slay Queen material, because that's not what I provide. Mm. But they do get information and knowledge from me. So your personal brand has to be a representation of your authentic self. Mm. And it has to be in alignment with what you are looking to project to your client.
I love that. I think it's so many of us don't understand that personal branding is business.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So the same way Louis Vuitton is a brand, a personal brand is a person brand.
Yes.
So if you are Louis Vuitton, we can't see you in Brie, you know?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
And if we start seeing it that way, we'd know how to position ourselves and
Absolutely.
How to show up.
Yes.
And understanding that it isn't conceited or fake or whatever the case may be. It's actually just incredibly strategic thinking and execution. The fact that I'm a business now.
Yes.
Someone's going to pay to be with Lebu or Hetty.
Yes.
It's not just Lebu on a Saturday. It's Lebu that I can monetize. It's a Lebu that I can gain commercial value from.
Yes.
So how does Lebu commercial value show up?
Yeah.
You know, I love that you said that. I think that's so important with personal branding, because I think a lot of us are getting it confused either with being fake or with being an influencer.
Yes.
And those are very different things.
Yeah.
Out of all the social media platforms that exist, which one would you recommend for entrepreneurs?
It depends on the type of business that you have. If you are looking to build a community that is engaged, that you want to nurture, I recommend Facebook.
Really?
Facebook has made me the most money.
Wow.
In the past decade.
Okay.
Facebook was what was able to allow me to leave my really, really great corporate job. I've been able to build a community of 500,000 followers on Facebook. So I would recommend Facebook. If you are a knowledgepreneur, I definitely recommend Instagram. So if you've got higher ticket items, I definitely recommend Instagram. If you are kind of looking to have a bit more of a kind of a global appeal, conversational style, then I would definitely take it to YouTube. So it really depends on what your objectives are. So often at times what we do is we look at our backyard. So labels on YouTube, let me run to YouTube. So-and-so is there, let me run there. It all depends on what your objectives are. Every single social media platform has its merit, depending on what you're looking to achieve.
Guys, Hetty could be giving you a masterclass right now, because I'm literally agreeing with everything she's saying, because this is gospel truth. Like, I would say this to my entrepreneurs as well. Any client that I'd consult for, this is exactly what I'd say. We did not plan this beforehand. There is no script. This is just two marketing people, two people who are about strategy and business, exchanging ideas and sharing ideas. And ideas are so powerful, right?
Yes.
You know, that spreads the fastest and it impacts the most people.
Yes.
So ideas are very, very important. I want to go into a rapid fire session with you. But before we go into that, I just want to ask you the age old question that everyone asks on interviews, which is, what can people expect from you? What can people expect from Hetty, the entrepreneur? And what message do you want to leave the woman, young or older, who's watching this? What do you want them to take away from our conversation?
Okay, so gosh, there's so many projects that we've got in the pipeline. I guess most of them would be shown on social media. I've got different programs that I'm running with different coaches, etc. So I'm very excited about that. I think one of the things that I will leave for you, and that is really the mind space that I am at right now and I am carrying into this year. And, you know, oftentimes people say, oh, what message would you give to your younger self? And I think about this every day. And the message that I would like to leave for all of you is that abundance is your birthright. It is your birthright. So if you are born into this world, then everything that you find in this world is yours for the taking. Money, love, prosperity, whatever it is that is important to you, it is freely available in abundance for you.
And how do I manifest that?
Oh my goodness, you know, manifestation is such an interesting topic. I've been doing manifestation exercises this year. I'll give you an example of one of them. I know lots of people love to speak about affirmations, so I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is about taking physical space.
Okay.
Right? So often at times we'll talk about taking space. And I'll give you an example. So I've been thinking about an event that I want to host, and it'll either be next year or the year after.
I hope I'm getting an invite.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope I'm there.
Absolutely. But it's one of those that requires a big venue, like a hotel. So now that I've thought about what it is that I want to accomplish, the next step is showing up in the spaces that I want to see this take place. So I now find myself working in hotels because that is where I want to see the event take place. Now, on one day I was there, I was working on my laptop. I notice a gentleman, I go up to him and we start chatting. And he says, no, I thought you looked familiar. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to put it out there. This event that I want to do next year. He says, well, I'm so glad you said that because I'm a shareholder at the Houghton Hotel.
Well, then, and manifestation.
And when you are ready, give me a call. It's yours. So for me, I have been looking at the physical manifestation of what is in your head, because that is the first step. But how do we make it a reality within the physical world? And that is how you take taking up space in its practical sense. Showing up in the spaces that you desire to exist, whether or not you believe you are qualified.
Oh my goodness. It's like you've lived my life, because I completely agree and can relate with what you're saying. You know, when I started this journey of, I don't even know what, because I've always just been kind of off the beaten path my whole life. But I remember when I, just before I started podcasting, I had just done a big project. My first big project is just an independent consultant. They gave me, I don't know, like 100,000 or something. And I didn't know what to do. It was the first time I had that kind of money in my bank account. And I was looking for a new purpose, a new life, a new thing to do. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to go to Cannes Lions, first of all. I want to be in Cannes during Medem, during the film festival. And I want to meet important marketers, filmmakers, content creators. And I was like, I've got this money. I'm going to use it to do this. So I literally, and I think the festival was like a week like after I got the money. So I literally booked a plane ticket. I didn't have a hotel to stay in. I booked a plane ticket, very expensive at the time because I didn't really have a lot of money. And I also went online and I just tried to see who was going to be there and if I might know somebody who's there. And it just so turned out that I knew a record label exec in South Africa who was going. And I asked him if he could help me get a ticket at half the price, because the tickets are very expensive. So he said, okay, I'll help you. And I paid him and I literally went. I think I had like 8,000 rands in my bank account by the time I'd set everything up to go. And I just went there. I did not know anybody. I didn't know what I was going to do there, but I knew I had to be there. And I think by the third day of that festival, I literally had VIP tickets to all of the events because I was networking my bum off. I would literally go to all the restaurants that looked packed and I'd sit and have my breakfast there and just engage with people. I literally hustled my way through that thing, you know. And it was because I just genuinely manifested and believed that I had to be there, that I'd find value in that, you know. So that's how I birthed this.
That is incredible. You know,
so I can completely relate to what you're saying, because it's about taking the risks of the things you manifest in your mind. You know, it's like taking up that space. I feel this, I think it, now how can I be it?
Exactly.
You know, so powerful, powerful, Hetty. Guys, please watch this at least three times, because I know some of these things are not landing the way that they should. And these are valuable gems. Trust me, you want to be about this. This is how you change your life. It's not because you're privileged or your race or your age or your gender. At the end of the day, if you want to hustle, you're going to hustle. At the end of the day, if you want to make the money that you dream of making, you're going to make it. And people will laugh. You know, every time I say I make money through podcasting, people laugh at me to this day. But I can afford more than half of the people who are laughing at
me. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. So it does not matter. You have to manifest this thing. Anyway, we've got a new segment on season two of the podcast, and it's called the Rapid Fire segment. And basically, I ask you a couple of questions, and you answer them as quickly as possible. Okay, the first question is, and I think this is an easy one for you, who is the founder of Twitter?
Of Twitter?
Yes.
Who is the founder of Twitter?
His name starts with a J. Someone and Joel went up the hill.
Jack?
Mm-hmm.
Jack? Which Jack? Ma? I've no idea, to be honest.
Jack Dorsey.
Oh, Jack Dorsey.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. That's interesting. So you're not a Twitter person.
I'm not a Twitter person.
Okay.
You're actually probably not going to find me there, to be honest with you.
Actually, why? Why won't we find you on Twitter?
Gosh, I honestly find Twitter to be extremely rough. Mm-hmm. It is the hillbrow of social
media. My goodness, you just called my home hillbrow. My home.
I cannot. it requires bulletproof vesting.
It does.
It's so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that it doesn't necessarily speak to my personality type. Mm. I like to connect with people, etc. And I just struggle with Twitter. Mm. It's got its value. There's no doubt about that. I think we all see the value that it has. I'll eventually see the tweets on Facebook when it gets there.
Yeah.
But Twitter is not for me.
It's not for you.
No. Not for me personally.
Question two of our rapid fire session. Mm-hmm. Which South African sneaker brand means shoe in township slang? Guys, if it's Sutu or something else, I'm sorry. I just feel like the word is township slang and not necessarily like a vernacular South African language.
Which sneaker brand?
Which South African sneaker brand means shoe in township slang? I mean, they're two main
sneaker
brands.
Yes, there's Batu and there's Drip.
Yeah. So which one?
Drip is Drip, right? So I guess it's Batu.
Yes. In my mind, these were going to be so easy.
Does Batu mean shoe, though?
Yes, it does.
Oh,
it means shoe.
I thought it meant like a person, like umuntu.
No, not Bantu.
Oh,
Batu. Well then, look at that. Different perspectives, guys. I literally never thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think of it in that way. Okay.
Well, rapid fire clearly is fire.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be easy. Okay. The third question, Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
Easy one. There you go. At least 1 point. 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
4. Complete the sentence. Jack of all trades.
Master of none.
What do you think about that phrase?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. A thousand times yes.
So you believe in niching?
I believe in niching. I believe in specializing. We are tired of you being a life coach on Monday. On Wednesday, you're selling hair. And next week, it's Herbalife. Please stop.
Yeah.
Be known for something and do it well.
Take the risk because it's risky, right?
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Give it the benefit of 6 months of doing one thing well without having FOMO of what your next door neighbor is doing.
Hey, that's a drag.
Yeah.
That's dragging. But it's good, guys. I mean, we should also normalize this word, dragging, because I feel like people are using it recklessly. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes someone's just providing wisdom.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it's not so soft, but it's there.
Yeah.
And we call it dragging. And I think that it really isn't, but okay.
Yeah.
Question 5, Apple or Samsung?
Oh, Lord. They both have their merits. I'll say Samsung simply because that's what I've used.
Samsung?
Yeah.
I've never
used an Apple, so.
Oh, the blasphemy.
I know.
You've never used Apple?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm learning a lot today.
Yeah.
And the last question, mm-hmm. and I think this is going to be easy for you, entrepreneurship or corporate?
Oh, entrepreneurship, no doubt in my mind.
Okay.
But corporate is for some.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly okay. But for me, entrepreneurship.
Are you afraid of being controversial?
No, not at all.
Because I find that you're so diplomatic. Like, you know, you'll say, I like this, but it's okay if other people like.
I think the reason why I say that is because I have such diverse clients.
Mm.
I'm helping people in corporate to monetize.
Yeah.
So corporate is what you design for yourself.
Mm.
Your career is what you design for yourself. So you can be in corporate and a personal brand.
Yes.
You can be in corporate and have multiple streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I truly believe within the depths of my esophagus that every single person has their path.
Yeah.
And corporate might be your path. So let's do it excellently.
Mm.
That's my view.
That's a great way to end off this podcast. Whatever you do, do it excellently. Hetty, you've just given us a life class, a master class for life, essentially. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you so much.
And sharing your wisdom.
Thank you.
Know, I would like to think that we're going to look back at this conversation in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're going to just marvel at how so many things manifested out of this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been wanting to speak to you for the longest time. Yeah. And I really admire what you do. Mm. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Your best bet is always social media. It's Hetty the Entrepreneur on Facebook, on Instagram. Yeah. Follow me there for valuable content.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the first episode of season 2 of the Label Lion Show. I can't wait to bring you more valuable content, more power-packed content. And thank you for commenting, liking, subscribing, and keeping this community going. We are growing. And I want you to be a part of this growth because big things are coming. Trust me, very big things are coming. Thank you once again. And I can't wait to see you on another episode of the Label Lion Show. Until then, the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time.